on 1116 SEN, The Bush and the Burbs with Paul Daffy for ABUS, the brand chosen by security professionals. If you love it, lock it with ABUS.
Bush and the Burbs. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we weren't on last week, Daff, but a couple of weeks ago, my kids were in the car and were in fits of laughter thinking that we did a segment called Bush and the Burbs. Now, if you're, I think they're at home tonight, but I told them...
They've inherited your wit then, finally.
They just ran with it. Dad, there's a thing on burping. It's called the burps. I promised them if they were in the car tonight, if they sent me an SMS, I would do a bush and a burp. I don't know how to do the bush, but I would do a little burp for them. Thankfully, they're not in the car. We will be checking in with the Eastern Footy League, as we always do tonight, and then with an Eastern Football League forward who was dominant for the Vics in representative football last week.
That's right, final. We'll be talking to Lee Williams. Lee's a highly regarded, renowned, one of the best one of the best local footballers in Australia. He was a key member of Norwood's premiership team last year, and on the weekend he played for the Vic Metro in their 124-point victory over Queensland. That was at a Queensland representative carnival, and Lee kicked 7 goals, and we'll be speaking to him later in the show. A strange little beast, that carnival. Queensland had this, they tied a few things together. It's called the Queensland State Representative Carnival. Vic Metro deferred to Queensland. Actually, Robbie Copeland, Brisbane Premiership player, was playing for the Queensland team. He's now 34 years of age. I gather it must have been like Queensland below the AFL Queensland sort of level. So second tier Queensland team. North Queensland defeated South Queensland by 35 points. The NEAFL defeated the Tasmanian State League by 20 points.
That's interesting.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, that is very interesting. I wouldn't have thought that would have been an obvious result.
Yeah, it goes from Canberra up to Brisbane, I suppose. It covers a fair bit of turf. And the women's match, Queensland defeated Tassie by 119 points. But, yeah, but we're speaking to Lee Williams, not only about his performance for the Vic Metro.
How are Norwood tracking? We'll check in with the Eastern Football League. Wayne Brasher will be joining us from the EFL media team, but they're the reigning premiers who...
Underwhelming, for me.
Underwhelming, I think, is the word. They're certainly...
The fifth, so they're thereabouts, suggests that there is a gear that they can shift up to.
They're not keeping pace with, say, very slowly. Baldwin, are they?
No. Baldwin had confirmed their probably favouritism. They defeated Noble Park by 66 points last Saturday in the annual long weekend match. Now, that was at Noble Park at the Bullring, so that's a great win for Bourne. But I interviewed Kyle Martin, speaking of gun suburban footballers, there can't be too many better than Kyle Martin. Interviewed him for my podcast last week, just about what he's won the last two best and fairest at Collingwood in the VFL team. He played half a dozen senior games, so he played AFL footy, and then he's given it away to go back to play for Noble Park and to join his father. His father's been a plumber for 40 years, and just to join in his business. I asked him about, describe a bad day's plumbing. He said it's scrubbing away beneath the house, changing something or...
Scrabbling sounds like something a rat would do.
Well, maybe that's probably not the right word, is it?
It probably is the right word.
And I said, doing that, you could be at Lexus Centre getting rubbed down or going for a light run or something. He said he had no regrets. But the interesting thing, finally, in the interview on the podcast was... some of the opposition players are sledging him by calling him quitter. Now, I reckon that's fairly rough. He laughs it off. If you've seen Kyle Martin play, he's a beautiful player. And I imagine he'd be a class above. He was actually Noble Park's best player last week. But just, some blokes who would never get near an AFL game calling him quitter. He's just made a decision where he didn't want to do AFL training, would rather... go back to being a plumber and play for Noble Park, which I think is fair enough.
Now, I know, and I think most of our listeners would recognise you as a really insightful journalist, and you've got great interviewing skills. Those podcasts are well worth listening to. How do our listeners tap into those?
Yes, pdfooty.com.au. So I've started my own podcast venture, I suppose.
So PD for Paul Daffy?
Yep, pdfooty.com.au. Or on iTunes, just search for my name. And the name of this local footy show, I do an hour, or probably about 45 minutes on Sunday mornings, which goes up at about online about 11, and on iTunes at 11, where I just do an interview, amateurs, suburban, and country, and do a bit of a wrap up at the start of results of the previous day's play, and I do a long form interview with a footy identity, like the last one was Fred Goldsmith, the
Freddie.
He is one of the champion storytellers of football.
Oh, I know Freddie can tell a story.
You've interviewed him on here, haven't you?
Oh, I've interviewed him, but I also used to run trivia nights at the Bush Inn and had a close relationship at the Bush Inn when it was owned by the Laffey family. Bernie Laffey had it, and Fred was the main publican there.
Mm-hmm.
And he shared...
Where's the Bush Inn, sorry?
Paran, corner of... Let me get this 100% correct, because I often confuse it with the Orong. I would say it's the corner of Williams and Malvern.
Okay.
Sort of Hawkesburn. And if ever there was a real-life imitation of art, then those who've liked the TV show Cheers and the original bartender, the coach... What was his name?
Coach. Yeah, I forget
his
name.
Ernie Pantuso.
Before Woody Harrelson.
That's right. He actually passed in real life, the actor. So
did he?
That's why he was replaced. But yeah, that character, Ernie Pantuso and Freddie Goldsmith, share, you know, many stories, some of them sort of a bit rambling and non sequitur to anything you might be discussing. But he was just a great, and he always used to keep his Brownlow medal with him.
Did he?
Yeah, certainly behind the bar.
The idea is, look, I talked to him for an hour. The idea is just to let it breathe. And it's one of the most enjoyable hours I've spent. He remembers every game that night. He was the only fullback to win the Brownlow. It was 1955, so he's now 82.
Yep.
He's the oldest living Brownlow medalist. And he remembers every game from that season. So I asked him, what happened? Round 14, you had a hand injury. Yes, I broke it on the Thursday night before the game. They told me you'd be right. I ended up getting a few votes and so on. We went through the whole season and his career. And he's just a great story. Remember everyone he's played against? Every game.
Had I known you were interviewing him, I would have pointed you to asking him a question about a figure that he played with. And I think after he finished with South Melbourne, he went up towards Albury, Mildura, that sort of area. He played on the around the border, I think, coaching.
Yeah, he played for Albury.
Yep.
He was a publican in Albury, actually.
And he came up against player that he, I think, played with. And he has a real horror story to tell about him. You know, that sort of controversial figure, a ruckman called Ken Boyd.
Yes, I've interviewed Ken. South Melbourne, yep.
Yeah.
Ken went up and coached Wangaratta Rovers.
Correct.
Which he would have played against Fred, yeah.
Yes, he did. And he's got a story to tell about Ken Boyd in that competition.
Right.
And it's not a pretty one.
Well, Ken was famously suspended for 8 weeks or 12 weeks for striking Big Nick.
John Nichols, and giving himself up in the social club afterwards because it wasn't seen by the umpires, but he was overheard boasting to a journalist off the record, and I think it was the first time the league had launched an inquiry without a report on the day. And
is that right?
Yeah.
It was huge, but he just said, yes, I did it when I went to investigation. And that was his last game for South Melbourne. He missed the next first half of the season next year for Wang Rovers. It was 62. And yep. I went to a Wang Rovers function. He was there. One of the most charismatic men you could
Ken Boyd.
Meet.
Yeah.
But he terrorised opposition O&M clubs, Ovens and Murray clubs, when he's Wang Rovers.
That is correct.
And and Fred Goldsmith kicked a lot of... I mean, after his full-back season in 55, he basically played the rest of his year as full forward. And full forward for Albury. One of his teammates was the doctor who delivered his three kids. It was I forget his name, but there was a doctor in Albury who was a very good footballer.
Oh, he's a beauty. He's Freddie Goldsmith, and he's still, I think, is part of a crew that goes to watch Williamstown play, maybe.
He might. He lives in Spotswood, just behind the station there.
He was a fireman himself.
Yes. That's not on the Brownlow. He was working at the fire station. Dick Mason went and found him and eventually interviewed him in his mother's bedroom at his home in Spotswood. But I also went down and interviewed Bill Duller after Fred. So they were my two big game players for the last 2 weeks.
I'll be definitely hunting down the Freddie interview. Now, you've read reports in a country newspaper that harken back to probably the pre-war days of covering football.
Right. Look, I went down to Wilson's Prom with the family on the weekend, and as is my habit, I get a couple of local papers if I'm in the country. And I was in Fish Creek and picked up the South Gippsland Sentinel News and some great reports on the Albertson League. There's one instance
by
Rover.
Now I love
that's a 1924 byline.
I love the nom de plume. Yeah, you know, I used to read extensive. I love reading reports of old football games by various names, pseudonyms or nom de plumes, and I loved Spyglass.
I thought you were going to say Follower.
Yeah,
or Kickero.
The
Argus and the,
yeah, right.
the Australasian even. Yep.
A chap called Spyglass.
Who did he write for?
I can't remember. Very early. This is maybe even 1800s. Report on Australasian football by Spyglass. I'm just imagining somebody with that long sort of, looks a little bit like a...
Colonel Clink sort of monocle sort of character.
No, it's not a monocle. It's a...
What is a spyglass?
What did pirates used to look out of?
A little... Not a stethoscope.
I don't know. Telescope.
Periscope.
Yeah, a long view spyglass. Eyeglass. I don't know what they were, but yeah, very funny. Very funny. So he had a good turn of phrase, didn't he?
Yes. Look, you're good at reading those things, Fawny. Do you want to read the two?
Certainly.
Look, I'll set it up. Reigning mid-Gippsland Premier Merbu North retained the coveted Vin Kaladi Memorial Trophy when they defeated previously unbeaten Yanar by 16 points.
With only 12 of last year's Premiership's team on the field, some spectators feared the mighty Tigers were as flat as Steve Kernahan's 1987 rendition of Stand By Your Man. The goal of the day occurred 13 minutes into the second quarter when Shane Peters, Tim Traill and Clancy Bennett chain-linked the ball 138 metres from the scoreboard back pocket to Matt Holland, whose tight 15-metre running shot whistled through the big white sticks. Beautiful.
There's a few things there. Why mention Steve Kernahan's rendition from 1987 in a match report? I suppose you can.
Yeah.
138 metres was the length...
Sounds like
the ball was whipped from one end to the other.
He says they chain linked the ball 138 metres. It sounds as though he chain linked the actual distance and then measured the chain. Beautiful.
And it whistles through the big white sticks.
He's certainly taken the license that comes with writing sport, and unfortunately isn't used by people much nowadays.
It's fine. Also, on the same paper, I found out. Kilgunda Bass, they featured three very well-known players in AFL circles last week in Aaron Davey, Austin Wanamiri and Liam Jarrah. All turned out for Kilgunda Bass it was last week. And powered them to a big victory. The sportsman's lunch before the match featured Aaron Davey and Doc Wielden. That would have.
He's an interesting person to have for your lunch, the Doc.
Yeah, that would have grabbed a few in, I reckon.
Wonder what he looks like nowadays.
You're meaning what sort of haircuts he got?
Yeah,
not sure.
Has he gone conservative? When I think of Kilcunda Bass, I think of one former league footballer.
Jeff Hogg.
No, you see, that's... I think of Charlie Grumage.
Oh.
From Kilcunda Bass. Charlie Grumage... Generously, I was part of the committee that organised the Save Our Saints game at Moorabbin back when St Kilda needed saving, which is probably always, but things were getting desperate. And St Kilda, some legends game between St Kilda and Hawthorn, and Charlie Grumage lined up for the Hawks. Might have been actually St Kilda versus some All-Stars, I think, rather than Hawthorn. And afterwards, there was a function upstairs in the social club, and having been part of the committee that put this team together... Now, Charlie was long, straggly hair, sort of round glasses. He looked very much like the sort of beatnik type dropout of the 70s.
Allen Ginsberg type.
Correct. Anyhow, he had a couple of beers, and he as I was trying to make sure that all players had safe passage from the ground, I asked whether he was catching a cab or how he was getting home, and he said, I could do with a lift, and... Game was at Moorabbin. I was living in East Malvern. I thought, I don't mind traipsing around somewhere, not thinking for a minute he still lived in Bass, which will come to.
Which is on the Bass Valley coast, which is about an hour and a half south of Melbourne for listeners.
I got him to a train station.
Who's Charlie Grumage for?
Played for Hawthorn in the late 60s, early 70s. Was a sort of enigmatic in and out of the side forward who just was surplus to needs, I think, in 71. Didn't play in their grand final, premiership winning team. Darren Berry's also from that part of...
He's from Wonthaggi, that's right.
Part of town.
Jeff Hogg, after Fitzroy, he ended up with, didn't he? He played a season or two at Coolconda Bass. That's why I remember that.
Vin Kaledi was a very good footballer who passed away young in a car accident from that region.
Oh, okay. All right.
Drove him to the Hazelwood Pondage. Terrible. I know Charlie Grumage also. His brother has the Wandilagong Pub.
It's a great...
Cheers from Diamond Jim. We need to take a break.
Town, isn't it?
And the Neefels win over Tasmania was the comp's first rep win. So I think it's safe to say it was unexpected, but welcome. So great SMSs there.
On 1116 SEN, evenings with Finey. For Alan Mance, don't lose your pants. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE.
Welcome back. Bushery Burberry is brought to you by Abus, a trusted name in locksmithing. Their product range ranges from heavy industrial type locks, the type of lock that would secure a facility, may it be fencing, perimeter fencing, or an important installation like a power plant, doors, etc., right through to colour matching personalised padlocks for backpacks and for school bags. Number one name in the product in Europe since 1924, so they've seen some action. But in Australia, whilst they haven't been here that long, they quickly became the number one brand as recommended by locksmiths. So if you don't specify and you go to a good locksmith, you'll get Abus. But just mention it anyhow to make sure that your man is on the ball, because you don't want to lock up with something that makes a thief think, ah, I'm coming in here. Every week we catch up with the EFL media team. This year it's been a changing EFL media team through some illness and availability issues. But Wayne Brasher is standing at the ready to talk us through all four divisions. How are you, Wayne?
Good evening, Mark. How are you this evening?
I'm well, and I note that in Division 1, the contenders, and they're hardly new to the role of top of the table, that is Borwon, are trying to further quell the ambitions of the reigning premiers, Norwood.
Yes, they are, Finey. And last weekend, as you have mentioned, they were involved in the big Queen's Birthday standalone game against Noble Park and got the victory. I reckon we've got our own version of the BGs, mate. Luke Barker, Blake Broadhurst, Jeff Goebbels and Brendan Goss were once again prominent in their victory. They kicked 16 of the 21 goals and they're probably the most lethal forward nine in Division 1 so far. Norwood, on the other hand, have that charismatic talisman in full forward, Lee Williams, who you'll be talking to shortly. He started in that game last weekend, kicking 7 goals, and currently is the leading Division 1 goal kicker with 35 goals and averaging 5 a game, which is really good at this level.
I see they've also got young Poynton. He was playing in the Waffle and the Sandful for West Adelaide, Mickey Poynton's boy, and that'd be a good recruit, and I note that he's been playing pretty well as well.
He has. He's been in there probably their best 6-on-5 out of the 8 occasions this season. Finally, he had actually had a year away, but he's always been a bit of a Norwood boy. But not only has Dean Poynton played well, but Jonathan Wynn, John Holmes, and Rhett Jordan have had really good seasons, and they've been part of the resurgence of the Norsemen in the season so far.
Well, it's Paul Daffy. Just referring to last week's match, Lee Williams kicked 7 best on ground. Rhett Jordan and Matthew Aver from Norwood also amongst the best. So that's 3 blokes from Norwood who were Vic Metro's best players. Suggest they should be higher than 5th on the ladder, doesn't it?
Well, they had a slow start to the season, Paul. They were 1-3 after round 4, and I think it was really match fitness that was really costing them early in the season. But in recent times, they've settled down their side. They've got players playing back in their positions, and they're just now starting to really hit their straps.
On to second division, Croydon Bayswater, and Bayswater just clinging onto a spot in the final 4 with a lot of teams looking to take that position. Croydon, top of the table, would be a stern, stern test. So if Bayswater wins, they are probably deserved of that position in the top four.
Yeah, Finey, it was interesting last week. Brendan Weiner, who's the leading goal kicker in Division 2, was held goalless in their 107-point victory against Scoresby, whilst on the other hand, Bayswater had a very uncharacteristic loss to Doncaster by 91 points. Croydon have taken all before him this year, and Paddy Travers is probably having one of them, an outstanding season. He's kicked 22 goals and been in their best 6 out of 8 times. Whilst for Bayswater, Wayne McInerney is really the yardstick of that side. If he's kicking goals, Bayswater are going really well.
Division 3, Wayne, South, Belgrave and Heathmont. Now, will a loss spell the end of a finals campaign or almost spell the end of
it? Well, Paul, I think for one of these sides, a trip to a last chance saloon will come up in the next couple of weeks. Both sides' form has been really hot and cold. However, the Jets' form as of late, they've won 4 out of their last 5 and they're probably the more formed side. Both sides are actually come off 10-goal victories in their last appearances. But for South Belgrave, they were highly touted as a potential finalist this year, but injuries to their key recruits have really hurt their consistency. They really do have to win this game. Otherwise, I think it's season over for them.
All right, in Division 4, we've got the big one, Donvale versus Glen Waverley Hawks. What makes this game special, Wayne?
Yeah, well, it's the big... Brendan Favola makes a cameo appearance to Donvale Reserve on Saturday, which is our EFL game day match for your living at love your local football. And, I'm sure Donvale will love having him playing in the forward line. Unfortunately for them, they've really been struggling for consistency this year, but they've been really competitive in most games. Glen Waverley Hawks, on the other hand, they're the form side in Division 4 at the moment. They're going for their 5th win in a row and on the back of some really good form by Luke Broad and Gavin Carusi.
It's interesting. I note, Wayne, that... Fever's a coach of Yarrawonga, of course. Sorry, he plays for Yarrawonga, and they're actually playing. He's managed to do it when Yarrawonga's got a bye so far, but they're playing against Wodonga Raiders on Saturday, so Fever will miss that match.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's really good. I mean, look, Donvale have come up. They've come back from the amateurs after an unsuccessful stint, and they're trying to rebuild their club, and I think this is a really good find for the club. It'll really give them a great fillip, and you know, it'll give the supporters and the committee a real giddy up for the rest of the season, I reckon.
Well, we've got the grand final rematch in Division 1, Fev in Division 4, and plenty of great football in between. Looking forward to catching up next week with yourself or another AFL media representative and find out how those games and others panned out. Thanks a lot, Wayne.
See you next week, Finey.
Anyway,
we are heading to D4 in the amateurs. So that is the bottom grade of amateur football, but there's a club there that is most progressive. I was fortunate and honoured to host their function, which was a pre-AFL Grand Final function last year. The club is Westbourne Grammarians, and they are well connected. There's a strong connection with the Horsburgh family, and through that connection, Ricky Ponting was a guest, and I had the great privilege of chatting to him for half an hour up on stage.
That's right, Ray Horsburgh, the ex-Essendon president.
That's right. And I think this year I'll be similarly seconded to have a chat with Kevin Sheedy, which I'm looking forward to immensely. But there might be somebody else that I should need to get up on stage at their function. They have got a old-fashioned big bag kicking full forward. How's this? Dale Collins kicked 17 goals last week against Chadston.
Mm-hmm.
And I think earlier on tonight, Rowan Connolly used the term, give them curry in what Geelong will do to Port Adelaide. Well, he played Masala the week before and he gave them curry, kicking 15 goals.
You've been waiting all season to
say that.
Throw that one in, haven't you?
Westbourne a third. They play North Brunswick, who are... 5th, I think, on the ladder, so it's a big game. And Dale Collins, the man who's prepared for this game by taking time out in Bali, so it might be a well-tanned full forward, heading to the game against North Brunswick, joins us now. Good evening, Dale.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, Dale. Man.
Good old-fashioned name, too. Dale Collins. There's no Jaden about that, is there? How old are you, mate?
26.
There was Dale Collins, the tennis player, wasn't there?
Collins.
No,
Collings.
Right. Collings, was it?
Yeah.
The big serving.
Big
unit.
Yeah, with a belly.
That's right. In the early.
So we're
80s.
Not asking your physique, but you've sort of warmed into the season. You only after round two, you'd only kicked two goals. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was probably didn't kick as straight as I'd like, but I'm pretty new to the forward line side of things, so it was something new for me.
Where had you been previously? Why has it taken so long?
I don't know. I've played a couple of clubs and just been thrown down back, I guess, and always been down there. And I was coached by a guy by the name of Justin Johns, who was up at Clunes with me, and he's the one that threw me forward just for something to do, and ended up kicking a couple up there. So, yeah, and then he's the one that got me across to Westbourne.
These are the numbers. This is not a sort of sequential numeric test, but there is a pattern forming. 1-1, 7-7-7, 15-17. You haven't taken a backward step, and North Brunswick hope that that doesn't continue to be an upward curve. Though, playing a team who are fifth on the ladder, I don't know whether you'll be able to beat 17, Dale.
No, I don't think so, but the delivery from the boys has been pretty good, so credit goes to them more than anything. The young guys down there have been awesome, and they're actually been into me a bit tonight about this radio, and they're saying about finding me again, so already spent about $50 for the boys on Mad Monday.
Now, Dad, how'd you get your goals? Like 15 speckies and two off the ground, or what was the method?
A lot's out in front. A lot
on the lead.
Yeah, delivery of the boys has been pretty good.
All right. Now, Dale, I noticed you wear number 77. What's the story there?
77, my old man, as far as I've always known, wore that. And it was just a thing that I decided that was from juniors. I wore it. He wore it, I wore it. So I've always gone along with that.
Where'd your old man play?
He played everywhere. But what my memories are, he played up at Clunes for a bit. He played at North Footscray. Played at Wyndham Vale. So we went around a little bit as kids.
Now, Clunes is great. Clunes is a very, very old town.
In fact,
the main street there, with many of the shops untouched from the turn of last century, is used quite a lot in the movies.
It's often a film set, that's right.
But, of course, it was the town that gave us Bob Davis.
That's right.
That's it, yeah. I actually played in the Bob Davis Memorial Game.
The week
he passed away, Geelong Footy Club and Clunes got together and they made us a Geelong-style jumper because we always wore Collingwood.
Okay.
And, we played in that day, that night game for them against Dunstown.
Right. How'd you go?
I was pretty bad, actually, I think, to be honest. But we ended up getting rolled, I think, by about 20 or 30 points.
Okay. Now, look, just back to last week, Dale. Footy clubs have got this bloody mindedness about him that they won't concede that the full forward ever gets best on ground. So you've kicked 17 goals, best players for Westbourne Grammarians, M. Culliver, D. Collins. So how can't you get best on ground with 17 goals?
To be honest, Mickey was probably one of the ones that was the delivery to me, but I think I only had 8 to 3/4 time, I think. So I got a lot of junk goals, to be honest.
Okay, best amongst the also amongst the best P. Hudson for Westbourne Grammarians. How many did he kick?
I think probably played in half back, so I don't think he kicked any.
So P. Hudson plays on the back line.
Yep.
Ah, well, I've obviously. It's not picked on surnames or reputation. Dale, I've got to ask this politely. You see, when I see somebody kicking 15 and 17 in local football, I expect a bit of a man mountain and sort of the sort of bloke that when you stand between the person looking at the sun and the sun, there's sort of getting engulfed in shade. In other words, you kick him because you're just bigger than everybody. How big are you?
Pushing probably 6 foot, to be honest.
Just 6 foot?
Yep.
That's amazing. So, are you a jack in the box? Do you take off a bit?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I'm not quick at any means.
Well, not quick, you're not big, but you're kicking a lot of goals every week. it's a really good club. I was mentioning in the lead up, it's a progressive club, and I know a few of the people from down there. Young Dave Hudson's come in and done some radio with me. Dave, by the way, is, I think, first cousin of Ben Hudson, who's got a bit of a connection to Westbourne as well. Now, part of being a progressive club is your club song. which you've obviously got to sing a bit this year.
Yeah, I'm still reading it from the wall to the earth.
You don't need it's, the body of the song may be good, but I love the way the song finishes, because the song finishes with that great song, and it's a part of the movie Deer Hunter. Yeah, what's that song called? I'm not quite sure what it's called. I love you, baby. Oh, yeah. So that's not a bad way to finish a club song, is it?
Nah, it's pretty good. Especially, it's a bit easy for the new guys, which we had a few this year, so it made it a bit easy for us.
How did you end up at Westbourne, given that it's an old grammarian type school?
Yeah, as I said earlier, mainly because I had a few mates down there, and my stepbrother plays down there, so I decided a couple of years ago, we decided to come home from playing up at Clunes, and I played last year at a club just at the end of my street, which was Manor Lakes, in the WRFL, and and then a few of my, most of my good mates were playing at Westbourne, and they were the ones that got me across.
The club's in D4, which I think by their own admission is not where they want to be. That's the lowest grade in amateur football. Do you think that this season there's enough? Well, you're third on the ladder, top two go up. The aim is clearly stated that you do win promotion this year. It's, from what you've seen, are there enough good footballers to get you up to D3?
I definitely think so. I think that's definitely our goal. That was our goal from the start of this year. We brought in a couple of guys, but I think the core group has been coming up. We've got a lot of probably 22, 21-year-olds. So we've got a lot of guys coming up, which is the main thing for the club. We want to be going forward, obviously not backwards.
And one last one, Dale. You've beaten up on a couple of interesting clubs the last two times you've played. 32 goals in two games is a heck of a performance. Chadstone went a long time without a win. They got that win maybe a couple of years ago, but I've got a feeling Chadstone might have gone four or something seasons without a win. How are they going in terms of personnel, etc.? Because they were really struggling to field a team. In fact, the poor bloody suburbs almost disappeared and is just a shopping centre now, so I can see why they've got problems.
Yeah, well, I thought Chadstone, they were with us till half-time. We were in front, but we weren't absolutely thrashing them by half-time. I think towards the end, we probably ran over the top of them. But credit to those guys, they actually had a crack. It was not as if they laid down or anything. We just ran out of legs, I think, at the end.
And then the team before, really interesting side, Masala, which is an Indian spice mix, and it's made up of I think a lot of players from that part of the world, from sort of the subcontinent.
That was original thoughts from that, what we were told. But they had a lot of different. That was a really good multicultural mix.
Yep.
And the same thing with them. They fought all day. They tried their guts out, and I think they're only going to improve.
Did you play that game at Masala, at their ground, or at your ground?
No, at Westbourne.
Oh, because I heard they've got a really good canteen. They do some really interesting food there. So I'm going to head down there and, if not watch a game, then certainly enjoy their hospitality. Dale, I look forward to catching up. I imagine you'll be at the club function in a few weeks, in July?
Yeah, definitely will be.
Looking forward to, might get you up on stage and talk about, hopefully, some more big bags. Going to be hard to top 17, but if you do, get ready for some more questions.
No worries, boys. Thanks for that.
Dale Collins.
Thanks, Dale.
15 and 17 in the last two games.
So average is 16. It's not bad, is it?
Yeah. It's going to be hard to keep it up, but if he does, watch out D4.
Finally, just while on the MOs, the big game this week, Ormond VQ, both undefeated in D1. So the battle of the two undefeated teams.
Strong teams in the reserves, and I'm sure the umpiring will be good. But I'll be there on Saturday, Ormond VQ. I'll be umpiring the reserves and sticking around for a very big game in the ones. Head down to Gun Reserve in Ormond. Great place to watch football. And if you see the reserves umpire and want to say good day, then say good day. And you've got a 50-50% chance it'll be me.
Check it out. On 1116 SEN, evenings with Finey. For Alan Mance, don't lose your pants. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE.
Welcome back. Now, important news for fans of Bush and the Burbs, which I'm sure you all are tuning in. We appreciate immensely your support for this program and, of course, your support for local football. And that is over the next four Thursdays, there there is AFL football. So no Thursday night programming as regularly heard on 1116 SEN live football coverage. We don't lose Bush and the Burbs, though. It's too important for that. Bush and the Burbs moves to 10 p.m. Sorry. It'd be nice to do it at 10 a.m. 10 p.m., so 10 o'clock at night, every Monday night. That'll be good to do Monday night, Bush and the Burbs, fresh results.
Exactly. It's a good review sort of time, isn't it?
Yeah, so we'll be hooking straight in on the Monday night. And I'd like to thank Dick Baker, who's the senior coach at the Whitefriars Old Collegians Football Club, because they are visiting at Ormond on Saturday, Gun Reserve. And I look forward to umpiring the game between Whitefriars and Ormond Resies, and then on to the seniors, where Dick Baker is hoping to get Whitefriars to be the first team to beat the Maunders for the year.
I'll get ahead of myself, fine. It's Ormond VQ next week.
They're going really well, Ormond, and it's a great rebuild with many, many youngsters coming through from their very strong Colts program. One of those youngsters is playing for Melbourne this week in the first ruck, Max Gawn.
Mm.
And that's the club that Lee Williams was drafted by as a rookie. He finds himself now back in the EFL where he, I mean, by your estimations, Paul, is one of the best players in the entire comp.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And he proved that in spades in Vic Metro's excellent form on the weekend. They took on Queensland, beat Queensland, and Lee Williams was the leading goal kicker with 7. Joins us tonight. Good evening, Lee.
G'day, Mark. G'day, Paul. How are we going?
Good, mate.
Now, I didn't know whether to talk Norwood or Vic Metro. I want to talk Norwood, and I'd like to ask the question that Daff put to Wayne Brasher, and that is a team that boasts 3 players that were dominant for Vic Metro and more than a smattering of other very good players, the reigning premiers, are not, due to a slow start to the season, are nowhere near where they should be on the ladder, and really have a tough game, but a big game, grand final replay against Baldwin to set things straight on the weekend.
Yeah, obviously the season didn't go the way we obviously wanted to start off, but look, I think the way we've sort of been rectifying the last couple of weeks, we've rectified a bit of form, and the way we want to sort of play is sort of how we have been playing. So I think this is sort of a good opportunity to, I suppose, put out what we're hopefully looking to put out, sort of the same sort of style footy that we played last year, and sort of take it up to Baldwin, who are no doubt premiership favourites at the moment. So, yeah.
Any mitigating factors for that bad start? Was there any obvious reasons why you got out of the block so slowly?
No, I think we had a, in terms of pre-season and stuff like that, I think there was a lot of guys that probably, like myself, I didn't come really do much training before the Christmas break. There's a few guys that went overseas and stuff like that. I think our pre-season was a little bit lighter than the year before, and obviously we sort of obviously took it a little bit more easier in terms of having the year that we did the season before. But in terms of that, I just think it probably took a little bit longer just to reinforce the hard-working nature that we worked towards last year, sort of thing. I think probably just took a couple more weeks just to get the hard work and effort, not just in game day, but at training and that as well, to sort of get us back on track.
Lee, is Norwood your home club?
Yeah, it is.
So you went to Melbourne, then went straight back to Norwood.
I went to Williamstown for a year after I was at Casey in Melbourne, yeah. Okay. But then back to Norwood, yeah.
Okay, just to play with your mates, or was there an emotional pull?
Yeah, obviously I've got a good bunch of mates down there as well, but obviously I live 2 streets away from the club, so it was a bit of a no-brainer for me to go back down to the home club where I've sort of been there for the last 7 or 8 years.
Given that you live 2 streets away from Norwood's ground, you also live 2 streets away from 3 or 4 other grounds. I mean, it's pretty tightly infested there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But no, I went to school at Norwood as well, so it was sort of a no-brainer. Most of the guys from Norwood ended up playing at Norwood, so...
I mean, that is a common... That's how the club was formed. It's so tight there that there is a North Ringwood, and Norwood's really... The school is a contraction of the words North Ringwood. The effort to come through the grades and win that premiership last year was enormous. It was... Am I right in saying based on a lot of these young guys that went to the school coming back and all playing together?
Yeah, in terms of most of the guys, that I think there was probably maybe 6 or 7 of us that went to Norwood High School that played in the actual grand final, but without, most obviously there's a vast age of guys that played, so I couldn't really tell you where most of them went to school and stuff, but I would have said that most of them that went to Norwood sort of had an input in some way or had an affiliation with the Norwood Footy Club at some stage throughout their career.
And Lee, just quickly, just playing for Vic Metro last week, how does it compare to playing a club match in the Eastern Footy League?
Not in terms of knowing who you're playing on and stuff. It was sort of harder, obviously, this week, knowing that most likely going to be playing along against Pendlebury. Probably got a bit more information on him as I would against the backs and stuff against Queensland. But I'd say, obviously, it's a different style of footy. It's more of an up sort of pace. It's similar to a VFL sort of, I suppose, style of game in terms of how much running is involved. It's in terms of preparation and stuff like that, obviously it's completely different. We obviously flew up to Queensland and had a training session up there the day before, and you sort of only got like a month's preparation as opposed to training with the same blokes every week and sort of knowing your role and stuff like that. But it's obviously a lot different in terms of actual game style as well. But it was a good experience, and it's good to play with a lot of other good players from other different leagues, and good to get the win.
I would have thought, Lee, it's good to be playing football of any type. People may remember the name Lee Williams from an unthinkable condition that happened whilst you were at Melbourne. You had a viral brain infection, were placed in a coma, and, of course, thoughts immediately weren't when you were going to play again. It was, what exactly is the extent of this illness condition that just must have grabbed you out of the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I was pretty unlucky there. I ended up getting a slight concussion in the week before from a footy game playing at Casey, and it was just unlucky enough to end up getting meningitis from that, and sort of transpired over the week and ended up, the condition obviously ended up getting a little bit worse, and then obviously whatever happened, but obviously it was good to get back during that year anyway and playing some reasonably good footy at Casey, and then obviously things didn't end up going my way with Melbourne, obviously I'm pretty stoked to get back to Norwood, and even playing the flag last year was obviously one of my career highlights, so I'm not disappointed with how things have gone, but obviously last year was pretty good, so I'm not really looking negatively on the incident, but yeah.
Talk about laconic, what could have happened. What he's talking about is it easily could have taken his life, but that is one thing that is in the past, and what is in the future is plenty of good football and a great life ahead of you, and we thank you for joining us tonight, Lee, and hope that Norwood's season finishes as it did last year, full of great footy.
No, cheers for that, Finey. Cheers, Paul. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks, man.
Lee Williams. There were grave concerns for Lee Williams. He's now doing what he loves on a weekend, and that's kicking goals for Norwood. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks, Finey.